Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Our scripture today is the 23rd Psalm, and I'll be reading from the Living Bible. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He restores my failing health. He helps me do what honors him most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So for the past couple of months, I've immersed myself in the Psalms as a spiritual discipline, as a challenge to myself to understand something more about my devotional life. And the Psalms have something significant to say about that. We've in the past couple of weeks, we've been in the Psalms as a featured scripture lesson. We learned how it is that God feeds in due season, and we learned that from the Psalms as well as in other places. But I found myself in my study as a means of expanding my spiritual disciplines in the Psalms, and one of the more popular Psalms is the one we've just heard read. How many here can recite the 23rd Psalm by memory? Many of us can. Many of us can. And I want to use this week in the next 3 weeks as a jumping point to understand that the Psalm, especially Psalm 23, has so much more than we think that it oftentimes does. You know, we just received a hymn written by Fanny Crosby. And if you don't know, Fanny Crosby was a woman who experienced the gamut of just unconscionable things. Her health decreased. There were things that happened that struck her blind. And yet, as a hymn writer, she still found the capacity and fortitude because of the strength she received by the Holy Spirit to write songs like Close to Thee. So, I will gladly toil and suffer if it means that I can just keep my walk close with you, Almighty God. As long as you stay my shepherd. There's nothing that I want in this world but to have a closer walk, to be attached to you, to know something more of your nature. So guide me. Keep me close to thee. I wonder if we would find the spiritual fortitude to be able to say those kind of things, to recognize the Lord not only as a guide, but a shepherd to our souls. And so for this week and the next 3 weeks, I've unrolled a sermon series that I've affectionately entitled 23-7. 23-7, you'll understand in just a bit. We're going to spend some time in the Psalms, 4 weeks so, line by line almost, group by group. And hopefully by the conclusion of the sermon series, you'll have a deeper respect for the power of the words within the 23rd Psalm. But before I go any further, I want you to answer, kind of in concert as it occurs to you, a question that I have. I want to conduct somewhat of an experiment with respect to the 23rd Psalm. I want you to name the time when you would hear the 23rd Psalm most regularly recited. A funeral. Funeral, same thing with me. Raise your hand if the most often times you've heard Psalm 23 recited was in the context of a funeral with someone passing away. Yeah, yeah. And while there is something to be said in that phase in the age and stage of life, brothers and sisters, I want to submit that the 23rd Psalm has less to do with death and a whole lot more in teaching us lessons about what it means to live. And I'm going to focus on one verse this morning. One verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Last week I came across an article, it was a very interesting article, written by a woman named Cynthia Yanoff. And in the article, she canvassed the top Google searches of both 2017 and 2018 so far. And the findings were fascinating because it says something significant about the fabric of our human nature. The top Google searches of 2017 and 2018 so far. And by the way, for those who don't know, I've got to say this slowly, Google is the most searched search engine in the world. Do you know that? How many here make a practice on a regular basis of using Google to look up anything? Google is the most searched search engine in the world as it processes 40,000 searches a second, or 3.6 billion searches a day. That's a staggering amount of searches. And in this article that canvassed the top Google searches in 2017 and 18, among those searches, at least musically, Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga garnered the top Google hits, at least musically. How many of you are familiar with Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga? More so than I thought. 830 was very, very familiar with Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga. So probably because Lady Gaga is from Glendale and y'all are giving her a favor here. But no, they garnered musically the top Google hits. But if you're not a music fan, in terms of pop culture, there's a whole host of people that did searches on Matt Lauer and was interested in the lives of Meghan Markle. They were interested in the lives of Matt Lauer and Meghan Markle. And if you don't know who Matt Lauer is or Meghan Markle, Google them. and on top of that, if you're a techie guy, if you're a techie person, there were a whole host of searches dedicated for looking for tips for iPhone 10. And apparently, outside of that, there were a whole heck of a lot of people that searched how to make slime, And how to shed belly weight. How to make slime and how to shed weight from your waistline. Now, apparently, we were interested in only feeling the slime with our hands and not feeling it on our sides. Those were some of the top Google searches. But then the article went on, as I read, to include trending searches to the following questions. And listen to this. How far can North Korean missiles go? How do hurricanes form? How much will the wall cost? How many refugees are there in the world? How to help victims in Mexico and in Houston and Puerto Rico and Las Vegas? How to make a protest sign? Or how to run for office? It's not a question I've typed in. How to make a difference, how to be a strong woman, how to be a good parent, and last but certainly not least, how to be less afraid, how to be unafraid. Now, I don't know how much stock we should put in articles like these, but should it be such a surprise, brothers and sisters, to discover that we're a people who are searching? Searching, and not for searching any old something, but significant somethings. Our searches, I say in the note sheet, say something about us. They say some significant things about us. It says that we're oftentimes anxious, that we're losing sleep, that we don't rest well, that we're uncertain and we're fearful. And we're in search for a serenity, a greater serenity and peace that we can't produce by ourselves. Another thing that our searches teach us is that we're searching for a platform. We're a people who want to have a voice. We have something to say. We're a people who have our fingers on the pulse of a political landscape that is tense and oftentimes divisive, and perhaps we know that it won't do to sit as silent bystanders. And so we're searching for a space to speak our minds, not just a greater peace, but a greater platform. And on top of that, we're searching for a greater purpose. Did you see some of those questions? How do we help? How do I extend myself with a purpose and a passion beyond my own self-interests? How do I be a good parent? How do I be a good guide? How do I make a difference? How do I be strong? We want to know how to help. We care. We're people who care about people. We want to know how to be less afraid. We're searching. Sometimes aimlessly, almost, as Scripture might say, like sheep without a shepherd. And in our searching, brothers and sisters, if we took the time to turn our eyes momentarily away from Google and toward God, it seems that this psalm has something to say about anyone who's panning for a greater peace, for a greater platform, for a greater purpose, and a passion. It seems the psalm has something to say, and it first starts with a proclamation, and it's this. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Perhaps it's less a statement and more an act of submission. It's a step of trust to say, among all of those other loyalties, among all those other commitments, among all those things that I might be able to proclaim to guide or influence, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's consider the points of emphasis. If I were to italicize just that short sentence, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Or the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd. Let's toy with that for just a moment. What's a shepherd do? For the sake of our conversation, for the sake of my purposes, I say that a shepherd is anyone who guides, who leads, who drives, informs, and influences the flock's walk. A shepherd is anyone who leads, guides, drives, informs, or influences the flock's walk. Under the guidance of a shepherd, that shepherd will drive, will guide, will lead the flock into places that that flock couldn't go by itself. Places of provision, places of peace, places of pasture, a platform of purpose. You know, the shepherd's responsible for protecting any movement of the flock. Chances are you'll see the shepherd. So the shepherd is anyone who leads, guides, drives, informs, or influences the flock's walk. What David the psalmist is essentially saying is, the Lord is the leading, guiding, driving, informing, and influencing force in my life. Among all other loyalties, if I'm to name something, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one who leads, guides, drives, informs, and influences me. Oftentimes, when we celebrate our sacrament of baptism, what the water actually means is a shift in belonging. Or when we remember our baptism, what we're simply reminding or remembering about is, look, even when we break bread and take the cup, we're recalling, we're being reunited, remembered as a body to say, the Lord is my shepherd. When I got called into Christ's family, I understand that there's a new leading, guiding, driving, informing, and influencing force in my life. And I'm part of that kingdom work. The Lord is my shepherd. Friends, if we searched ourselves, let me just ask a question. If we searched ourselves, we'd certainly see that we all have a shepherd. That's kind of a given. The only question, brothers and sisters, is what or who? When it comes down to whether we like it or not, in a moment of authenticity and honesty, we'll have to come to grips to say there is something or someone that is leading, guiding, driving, informing, and influencing my walk, my daily living. This matters. It's a matter of what or who. And among sheep, the shepherd is relatively easy to identify. And the shepherd is whatever or whoever regularly leads, guides, drives, informs, or influences. Sift through whatever that is, and chances are you'll see your shepherd. And so while it's easy to pray and to say, yeah, on Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, can we honestly say that the Lord is yours? Not only yours, but a shepherd. Assess where the bulk of your time, your devotion, your energy, and your resources go, and chances are you'll catch a glimpse, you'll see that shepherd. For many people, they'll say and have to admit, my career is my shepherd. My career is the very thing that leads, guides, drives, informs, and influences my daily walk or my daily living. Some others would say that my affiliations or my friends are my shepherds. They form, they influence, they lead and guide and drive my daily walk. Others might be able to admit this, you know what? I'm so propelled to prosper that greed is my shepherd. It drives, it guides, it leads, informs, and influences my daily decision making. I don't know what it might be, but all of us have a shepherd. And when it comes down to it, we just have to answer the question, what or who? And I'm wondering to what extent we can honestly say it's the Lord. If we canvass the landscape of our faith lives among other loyalties, to what extent can we really claim the Lord as shepherd? You know what? There are many points in my life, if I were to tell you, brothers and sisters, that the Lord wasn't necessarily my shepherd, but more my chauffeur. The Lord isn't my shepherd, but really kind of my chauffeur, the one that I lean on temporarily to get me from point A to B, but nothing beyond that. The one that I count on to take me to a certain place, and once I am restful, kind of leave things up to myself. Sometimes the Lord isn't so much shepherd as chauffeur, and I wonder how that's true among some of us. But it's messy, because we're all professionals, and we all want to provide for our families, and most of us are parents. And we navigate the tension of saying, well, gee, Jake, I mean, if I think about this, then I do spend a lot of time at work, but at the same time, I want to provide for my family. I mean, as I'm a parent, and any good parent wants to provide. All of us have loyalties. All of us have ties, and our time are tied to those ties. But what I want us to be able to see isn't that our careers are necessarily a bad thing, or our time that we devote to our kids as parents is a bad thing, but I just want to know, what is it that leads, guides, and drives, and forms, and influences the way you carry yourself as a professional in your career? What's the leading, guiding, and driving, and informing, and influence when you think about what it means to be a good guide to a child? Because that's what we're searching for. What is it that leads, guides, and drives, and informs your idea or notion of peace? And oftentimes we rely on pseudo-shepherds to provide us that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And we're immersed in the culture, brothers and sisters, that teaches us we should want a lot. And what the psalmist is saying here is, you know what, since the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing foundational in this world that I'm in want for. In a way, David is saying, as if you're going to fill in the blank of your note sheet, what he's saying, what I have in God exceeds what I don't have in goods. Oftentimes we try to replace goods with God. What I have in goods exceeds what I have in God. And when those things are inverse, we're in trouble. But David's saying, whatever I have in God exceeds what I don't have in my goods. And I don't want for anything. See, David found a place in his life where he understood that when the Lord became his shepherd, the leading, guiding, driving, informing, and influencing force in his life, that all of those things that the world searches for and what we search for, peace, real peace. And I'm not just talking about the absence of noise, but peace despite noise. Peace, a platform, purpose, a passion. That when the Lord is the shepherd over all those four things, that we find that we don't have a whole lot to want for. And I'm wondering if for the first time we could put ourselves in a place of trust to say, Lord, you haven't been. I said you have, but I'm making a conscious decision now to say, I'm handing over the things that I've carried by myself for a long time, and I want you to lead. I want you to guide. I want you to inform, and I want you to influence and drive my behavior so that where I am, wherever the flock is, people might know something about you. The shepherd and the flock are closely knit together so that the direction of the flock says something about the leadership of the shepherd. I wonder if we're there. I wonder if we're there. Where are people who want, and brothers and sisters, there's no greater peace, platform, purpose, or passion than the one that's found in the life that proclaims the Lord as shepherd. I just got back from Myrtle Beach vacation. We went with my wife's side of the family. We had a great time. It was a great week. The weather was perfect. And as part of my release, as part of my recreation, what I tried to do was to continue exercising. down there. I was proud of myself because I went and I got a temporary week-long gym membership to a relatively new gym down there that had this new idea that it was going to be a 24-hour gym. You've seen those before? Fitness centers that are open for 24 hours. And what happens is when you pay for whatever long your membership is, they issue you a card. And so I went up to this gym I could have gone after business hours, after the attendant left, but there were mirrored glass. You can't see inside. And so you swipe this card and you have access to the gym. And I wondered to myself, like, what utility is there for a 24-hour fitness center? Who's working out at 3? Who's working out at 3 o'clock in the morning? Who's going? But obviously it's a successful place. These days, there's 24-hour everything, is there not? Walmart's open for 24 hours. So many of them are. Grocery stores are open for 24 hours. Restaurants are open for 24 hours. Fitness centers open 24 hours. I'm amazed. Gas stations open 24 hours. And brothers and sisters, it says something significant about us, because if there wasn't a dollar to be made, it wouldn't happen. There'd be no dollar to be made if there was no demand. Here's the reality. This is what I want you to leave knowing. You may not need to know it. Here's the reality. We're a 24/7 people. We're a 24/7 people, and if we learned last week from the Psalms, we're not raising a generation that's learning to rest well or wait well. Everything is instant, and we're on the go 24/7. We don't rest. We're a 24/7 people. We're on the go perpetually. But I wonder what it would look like, if life would look a little bit different if we were a 23/7 people. Not in the sense that we would spend one less hour rushing or racing and not resting, but what if we were a 23/7 people in the sense that we lived out the precepts of the 23rd Psalm 7 days a week? What if we began our day with the admission, or at least the submission, God, Lord, in spite of all I might face today, I'm entrusting to you all of what I am and all that I have, all my anxieties and cares. Lord, you're my shepherd. We're a society who's seeking peace. Did you see? We want a platform. We want a purpose that's greater than ourselves and a passion to pursue that leaves us fulfilled. And when the Lord is your shepherd in that regard, you shall not want. In the name of Christ, amen.